everyone, welcome back to AI Special Report. I'm Skylar Monroe. I run an AI research lab at a FANG company, and this is where I break down what's actually happening at the frontier of AI. No fluff, just signal. Huge thanks to our sponsors keeping this show going. Ada, who helps businesses integrate AI into their workflows. Ago Consulting, pronounced Ago, your go-to for silicon development from AI all the way to SO, EECA. And Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry players, including Ada for deploying AI at scale, and their Glow Accelerator that makes AI models run faster and cheaper. Today we've got a packed episode. MIT is doing some seriously cool stuff in manufacturing and robotics. There's a big leadership move at one of the most important data science centers in academia, and then we're going to get into some stories that are a lot less fun but absolutely need to be talked about, including Meta running ads with AI-generated child abuse imagery and Elon Musk's AI Wikipedia project that seems to have just quietly died. Let's get into it. All right, first up, MIT's Initiative for New Manufacturing, or INM, is wrapping up its first year, and the early results are genuinely worth paying attention to. So a little background, INM was stood up to bridge the gap between cutting-edge manufacturing research and actual real-world deployment. And that gap, if you've spent any time in industry, you know it's massive. Like, the graveyard of great ideas that never made it to the factory floor is enormous. What INM is trying to do is compress that journey, get from lab to deployment faster, smarter, and with the right workforce to support it. In its first year, the initiative has been operating across three main pillars: research, workforce development, and industry engagement. And I think that three-pronged approach is actually the right call. Because historically, you'd see academic institutions do great research and then just kind of throw it over the wall to industry and hope for the best. INM is trying to be more intentional about the handoff. On the research side, they're accelerating what I'd call new manufacturing technologies, and that's a broad term. But think advanced robotics, AI-driven process optimization, novel materials fabrication, that kind of space. The workforce development angle is huge too, and honestly underappreciated. As manufacturing gets more sophisticated, you need people who can operate, maintain, and iterate on these systems. That's not the workforce we have today, and MIT is trying to help close that gap proactively. Then there's the industry engagement piece, and this is where it gets practical. You can't design a better manufacturing future in a vacuum. You need the companies who are actually going to implement these technologies at the table from the beginning. What I find compelling here is the timing. We're in a moment where there's serious political and economic pressure to reindustrialize, to bring manufacturing back, or at least make it more competitive. And AI is a massive part of that story. If INM can serve as a connective tissue between AI research and manufacturing deployment, that's genuinely impactful. The first year is always about setting the foundation, and it sounds like they've done that. I'll be watching year two closely to see where the concrete wins start showing up. Next story, MIT's Statistics and Data Science Center has a new director. Alexander Racklin has been named to lead the SDSC, succeeding Professor Ankur Moitra. And if you're in the machine learning or theoretical AI space, Racklin is a name you know. His work sits at this really interesting intersection of machine learning, statistics, and computation, and that intersection is increasingly where the most important theoretical work in AI is happening. The SDSC is not a flashy institute in the way that some AI labs get headlines, but it's foundational. It's where a lot of the mathematical and statistical underpinning of modern AI gets developed and validated. Think about how much of what we do in AI relies on statistical theory, from how we evaluate models, to how we reason about generalization, to how we understand what's actually happening inside these systems. That's the SDSC's lane, and it matters enormously. Racklin's background is particularly well-suited for this moment. We're at a point in AI development where the empirical results are racing way ahead of our theoretical understanding. We know these models work, sometimes astonishingly well, but we don't always know why they work or where they're going to break. That's a real problem, especially as AI gets deployed in higher-stakes environments. Having someone with Racklin's depth in learning theory at the helm of this center feels like the right fit for where we need to go. Moitra, by the way, did fantastic work building the center's reputation and research output. So Racklin is inheriting a strong foundation. Leadership transitions at academic centers like this might seem like inside baseball to some listeners, but the people running these institutions shape research agendas, attract talent, and influence the next generation of practitioners. That's long-cycle impact, but it's real. This is a good appointment. Okay. Story 3, and this one is just genuinely fun. MIT researchers have built a swarm of tiny robotic boats that can snap together and form floating structures on the water. The project is called Floatform, and the concept is inspired by something you've probably seen in nature: fire ants forming rafts. When fire ant colonies get flooded, individual ants link together into a living, self-organizing raft that can float and even move. Floatform takes that biological inspiration and turns it into a robotic system. So you've got these small aquatic robots that can navigate independently and then snap together, physically connect, to form larger structures. And critically, those structures are reconfigurable. They can assemble, disassemble, and reassemble into different shapes depending on what's needed. Now, why does this matter? Let me give you a few angles. First, from a pure robotics and swarm intelligence perspective, this is a hard problem. Getting decentralized agents to coordinate into a coherent, functional structure without a central controller is genuinely difficult. The fact that they're doing it on water adds another layer of complexity. You've got dynamic surfaces, currents, environmental variability. So technically, this is impressive work, but the applications are where it gets really interesting. Think about temporary floating platforms. Disaster response scenarios where you need to create a bridge or a staging area on water quickly. Think about environmental monitoring, where you want to deploy a distributed sensor network on a body of water and reconfigure it based on what you're detecting. Think about infrastructure inspection in marine environments, or even longer-term modular floating structures for coastal resilience or offshore operations. The swarm approach is also inherently redundant and scalable. If a few robots fail, the structure doesn't necessarily collapse, and you can scale up by just adding more units. That's a very different failure profile than a single large machine. This is the kind of research that takes years to mature into real-world products, but the foundation being built here is solid, and honestly, it's just really cool robotics. MIT continues to do work at the frontier of physical AI systems, and Floatform is a great example of that. All right, story four. This one is not fun, and I want to be direct about it. Wired is reporting that Meta ran ads containing AI-generated child sexual abuse imagery, CSAM, across Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, and Threads. More than 50 offending image and video ads were published, according to Meta's own ad library data. Some of these ran as recently as this week. I want to sit with that for a second, because this is not a hypothetical risk or a future concern. This is AI-generated child sexual abuse material appearing in paid advertisements on some of the most widely used platforms on the planet. That's a profound failure, full stop. Now let's talk about what's actually happening here, because I think it's important to understand the mechanism. Generative AI has dramatically lowered the barrier to creating synthetic imagery, including deeply harmful imagery. And ad systems at scale, even sophisticated ones, are running enormous volumes of content through automated review pipelines. The combination of easier generation and imperfect automated detection creates a window for bad actors to exploit. Meta is going to point to the scale of their moderation problem, and that scale is real, billions of pieces of content. But that context does not excuse this outcome. When you are running a paid advertising business, you have a different level of responsibility for what gets served than for organic user posts. These were ads. Someone paid to run them. The friction should be higher, not lower. The implications here go in a few directions. For the AI industry broadly, this is a reminder that synthetic media capabilities are being weaponized in ways that cause real harm to real children. The technical community has a responsibility to take detection and prevention seriously, not as an afterthought, but as a first-class priority. For regulators, this is going to accelerate conversations about platform liability and AI-generated content. And for developers building on or with these platforms, it's a signal that trust and safety infrastructure needs to keep pace with generative AI capabilities. I genuinely hope Meta addresses this aggressively and transparently, but the fact that it happened at all and that some of these ads ran this week tells you the systems in place are not sufficient. This is the kind of story that should make everyone in the AI field uncomfortable. And it should. Last story, and this one is more of a cautionary tale about hype versus execution. Elon Musk launched something called Grokopedia. It's an online encyclopedia with AI-generated articles, positioned as what Musk called a massive improvement over Wikipedia. And look, I get the pitch. Wikipedia has real issues, bias, coverage gaps, edit wars, the reliability of crowdsourced information at scale. An AI-powered alternative sounds, in concept, like it could address some of those things. But here's the problem, according to a report from Lawfare, Grokopedia apparently hasn't been updated since April 24th. As far as we can tell, no entry has changed in more than 3 months, they said. The project launched in version 0.1, which signals its early stage fine. But going dark for 3+ months without explanation? That's not a product, that's an abandoned experiment. And this fits a pattern that I think the AI industry needs to be honest about. There's a tendency, and Musk is not the only one guilty of this, to announce AI products with enormous fanfare, promise transformative impact, and then either quietly let them stagnate or pivot without explanation.
That behavior has real costs. It erodes public trust, it gives ammunition to people who think AI is mostly hype, and it wastes the attention and sometimes the time of developers, users, and organizations who try to build around these tools. Now, Grokkapedia specifically, let's be honest about the underlying challenge here. Building a reliable, continuously updated, factually accurate encyclopedia using AI-generated content is hard. Like, actually hard. Hallucinations are a real problem. Keeping content current requires either massive compute investment or clever architecture, and editorial quality, the thing that actually makes an encyclopedia useful, requires more than just generating plausible-sounding text. Wikipedia's real strength isn't that it's human-written, it's that it has a community of people who care deeply about accuracy and update content continuously. Replacing that is genuinely non-trivial. The lesson here isn't that I can't build better information, resources, I think it can and will. The lesson is that shipping a V0.1 with a massive promise and then going silent isn't a strategy, it's a liability. For investors and developers evaluating AI projects, this is a useful data point. Look past the announcement, look at the update cadence, the team's execution history, and whether the technical challenges are being honestly acknowledged. Hype without follow-through is just noise, And that's a wrap on today's episode of AI Special Report. We covered MIT's I&M initiative, Building the Future of Manufacturing, a strong new leadership appointment at MIT's Statistics and Data Science Center, some genuinely impressive swarm robotics work with Floatform, a deeply serious story about AI-generated CSAM appearing in Meta ads that the industry needs to reckon with, and Grokopedia as a case study in why hype without execution is a problem. AI Special Report brought to you by Ada, Ago Consulting, and Zen Semiconductor. If you're not already listening to Get News AI, also in the Ada Podcast Network, go check it out. It's a great companion to this show for developers staying current on the open source and software side of things. Please subscribe, leave a review if you've got a minute, and share the show with someone in your network who needs to stay sharp on AI. Full details and links for everything we covered today are in the show notes. I'll see you next time.